This is the Daily Detail, powered by 1819 News. Honest news.
Alabama.
Our great state.
The voice of Alabama values.
Alabama.
Unbelievable people.
And now, here is Andrea Tice.
I'm Parker in for Andrea Tice. The House Health Committee advanced legislation this week that would change how the state health officer is appointed and alter the makeup of Alabama State Committee of Public Health. The State Committee of Public Health currently composed of 12 members of the Medical Association for the State of Alabama Board of Censors and four additional state chairs appoints the state health officer. Senate Bill 128 by State Senator Tim Melson, a Republican from Florence, would require the governor to appoint the state health officer from a list of candidates submitted by the State Committee of Public Health. The bill also removes the synonymous relationship between the private medical association and the public committee of public health. If passed by the full House and later in the Senate, the changes would not be fully implemented until May of 2027. A Mountain Brook physician has pled not guilty in an alleged DUI crash that killed her 10-year-old daughter. Sarah Mulliken was allegedly fleeing a traffic stop in July of last year on Cherokee Road, Mountain Brook, when the vehicle she was operating ran off the right side of the roadway, struck several trees, and then overturned before stopping in the ditch. Mulliken had two daughters in the vehicle at the time, an 8-year-old who suffered abrasions on her arms and legs, and a 10-year-old who was apparently not wearing her seatbelt and suffered a major head injury before being pronounced dead at Children's of Alabama. A trial date for Mulliken has not been set. The Senate Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development Committee held a public hearing Wednesday for a bill that would require smartphones activated in Alabama to automatically have a content filter turned on for minor users. House Bill 167 by State Representative Chris Sells of Greenville would require manufacturers of smartphones and tablets to require that devices manufactured on or after January 1st of 2025 contain a filter that is activated during the activation of the device if the user is a minor, and only allow a user with a password to deactivate or reactivate the filter. The bill would also provide that a device manufacturer violating this act is subject to civil liability and provide for penalties. The bill passed the House unanimously on April 4th. Similar legislation passed the House and a Senate committee in 2023, but never received a vote in the Senate. This bill will be voted on in committee next week. A poll conducted by Morning Consult found that Governor Kay Ivey has the nation's highest job approval rating among her state's Republican voters at 86%. The group polled the approval ratings of all Republican governors within their own state's GOP voters. Ivey was also the fifth most popular governor among all voters, regardless of party, with 64% approval from all Alabama voters. According to the poll, 30% of the overall Alabama voters disapproved of Ivey's job performance. Ivey scored better in the poll than popular governors like Florida's Ron DeSantis, Georgia's Brian Kemp, and South Dakota's Kristi Noem. She is now term limited and scheduled to leave office in January of 2027. After PETA complained about the Floribama's mullet toss, in which participants throw a mullet fish, suggesting that they instead use a rubber fish, the Floribama reminded the public that the fish are not being wasted. Instead, the fish have, for the past 40 years of this competition, been given to a local alligator sanctuary. None of the fish go to waste, the Floribama says. Additionally, the event raises around $40,000 every year for local youth charities in both Alabama and in Florida. PETA had originally commented that each fish was, quote, an individual who suffered greatly and was violently slaughtered, end quote. Those comments were regarded as tone-deaf and ridiculous by local participants. Veteran ABC 3340 news anchor Pam Huff announced her retirement this week after working as a television journalist for over 40 years in the Birmingham market. Huff, who began her career at the age of 24, has interviewed every single Alabama governor since George Wallace. Huff has been at ABC 3340 since 1996 after a stint at WVTM, the NBC affiliate, and has served as a host of Good Morning Alabama, as the station's managing editor, and as the 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. news anchor. Huff says she's not sure what the next adventure will be, but that she is excited for it. The leading receiver for the Penn State football team announced plans to transfer to Auburn this week. Keandre Lambert-Smith committed on social media to much fanfare from the Auburn Tigers. Smith has 116 career catches for 1,598 yards, leading the team with 53 catches and 4 touchdowns last season. He's the only Penn State player with multiple 80-yard catches, including the longest pass play in Rose Bowl history. An increase in alligator sightings in Huntsville is sparking nervousness and stress in local residents. According to reports, many alligators have been spotted in the water at Sun Lake at Edgewater Apartments, a complex near the Madison-Huntsville border. According to the manager, an 8-foot-long alligator has been in the lake for, quote, a long time. Residents are saying that they've seen more than just this one, though, and the property manager is reminding people that the animals should not be fed. Expect to hear a lot more cicadas this summer. Over the next few months, experts are predicting that Alabama will have trillions of insects in the air buzzing at levels that can reach up to 110 decibels. That's about as loud as rock concerts or someone yelling directly into your ear. Dr. John Abbott, an entomologist at the University of Alabama, says that in the thickest areas, they will be hanging from trees and dropping off, possibly onto your head. If you're in the thick of it, he says, you won't forget it. For more in-depth stories affecting the state of Alabama, go to 1819news.com. In national news, the Supreme Court heard arguments Thursday in President Trump's immunity case. The arguments centered around whether Trump may claim immunity in Special Counsel Jack Smith's federal election subversion case, in which Trump and alleged co-conspirators, quote, attempted to exploit the violence and chaos at the Capitol by calling lawmakers to convince them to delay the certification, end quote, of the election, also in which they allegedly pushed Vice President Mike Pence to violate the law and delay Biden's victory. Trump has pled not guilty to all counts in this case. This is separate from the election interference case in Fulton County, Georgia, that centers largely around Trump's call to the Georgia Secretary of State, in which he suggested that the Georgia election had needed to, quote, find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, end quote. This Supreme Court case, however, is not deciding whether Trump is guilty of election interference. Instead, it is whether Trump can claim immunity from prosecution because he was president at the time of the alleged acts. Court watchers assume that the three justices who were appointed by Democratic presidents will rule against immunity. Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who is appointed by President Trump, seems skeptical of the arguments of President Trump's attorneys in favor of immunity. Here's a clip of her discussion with President Trump's attorney.
So, Mr. Sauer, you've argued that the impeachment clause suggests or requires impeachment to be a gateway to criminal prosecution, right?
Yes, I think that's the plain meaning of that second phrase in the clause.
Okay, so there are many other people who are subject to impeachment, including the nine sitting on this bench, and I don't think anyone has ever suggested that impeachment would have to be the gateway to criminal prosecution for any of the many other officers subject to impeachment.
As with many cases, it could come down to Chief Justice Roberts, whose opinion on the arguments remains veiled. Up in Manhattan, President Trump's case, in which he is accused of falsifying business records in the first degree in a plot to keep adult film actor Stormy Daniels from publicly speaking about an alleged 2006 affair, continued on Thursday. The former owner of the National Enquirer, David Pecker, began his testimony 3 days ago and has been on the stand for upward of 6 hours. In his testimony, Pecker has detailed how he dealt with both the Stormy Daniels story and another story of an alleged affair Trump had with Playboy playmate Karen McDougal. President Trump has not taken the stand, though he has promised that he will. Earlier this month, Trump said, quote, I'm testifying, I tell the truth, I mean all I can do is tell the truth, and the truth is that there's no case. They have no case, end quote. Film producer Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction was overturned Thursday by a New York appeals court after the court ruled that there was testimony during the trial about previous alleged non-consensual sexual acts that should not have been admitted. In the 4-3 decision, Judge Jenny Rivera called the errors, quote, egregious, and called for a new trial. It was not immediately clear on Thursday how the decision would affect Weinstein, who's being held in a prison in upstate New York. Weinstein was also sentenced to 16 years in prison in California in a different case, after he was convicted of raping a woman in a Beverly Hills hotel. Weinstein's attorney said they were, quote, thrilled with the court's decision. In music news, Taylor Swift's newest album, which was released last Friday to much fanfare, actually breaking many world records in terms of streaming, is getting some due criticism for some of its religious lyrics in which Swift appears to compare herself to Jesus. Here are two of the more alarming clips.
If I roll the stone away, they're gonna crucify me anyway. What if the way you hold me is actually what's holy?
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm her friend, I tell her, hey, you need to replace these lyrics right now. Not good. Well, on that note, we'll end today's edition of the Daily Detail. I'm Parker in for Andrea Tice, who will be back on Monday.
Alabama.
Alabama.
Our great state.
Alabama.
Of Alabama.
This has been the Daily Detail. For more up-to-date news, go to 1819news.com, where you'll find honest news and Alabama values.